Thank you so much, because y'all have a special way of giving me new ears to hear songs that I've heard before in a new light. Thank you so much. Always, always. Good morning, y'all. So before I actually jump into it, I want to tell you just a little story, because the same thing happened to me, and I just got to give some props here. So my brother, today's his birthday. He just turned 30 today. And to celebrate his birthday, he called me and Abby this morning, and he said, "Hey, so last night I was going to bed, and I touched my side, and I passed out. And then I woke up, and I did it again. I passed out again." And he's like, "What should I do?" And Abby says, "Go to the emergency room." And I remember on my 30th birthday, I threw my back out, gone for a run. 30th birthday. So whatever it is, I think Joe Bikini's, 30th birthday. I know. I don't want to say it's all downhill from there, but we don't have the best track record. I'll just say that. So about 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I started to get into this new concept of manifestation, new thought, read the book Think and Grow Rich, started to watch different YouTube videos of people talking about this concept of manifestation. And I watched one video in particular that stood out in my mind so clearly. And it was somebody sitting down with Oprah, talking about, and I'll tell you who it was. It was this guy called Jim Carrey. I don't know if you know who he is. Yeah, the guy from Dumb and Dumber. He was sitting down with Oprah, and he said that he wrote down on a check $10 million for acting services rendered. And he folded that check up, put it in his wallet, and he went about his duties to manifest that $10 million in his life. They gave himself 3 years. Lo and behold, that 3 years passes, and close to the day at which he gave himself that deadline, he got his contract for Dumb and Dumber. He got the opportunity to wear that beautiful blue suit. Now, I read that, or I saw that story, and to me, I was fascinated, amazed. Somebody could write down something like that and make that happen in their life. And I remember seeing another thing by him too, where he talked about, I forget exactly, but he would talk about how he'd go into an open field and he'd scream out to God and cry out to God and ask God for what he wanted. So I thought, okay, I got to try that. I got to see how that thing works. So I rented about 100 acres, and I went out to Brownwood, Texas, by myself for a camping trip. And I went out there in the middle of the day, and I screamed out to God. And I yelled out to God. And I had an idea of what I wanted to have happen. And I left feeling like, was that it? Did anything really change? And I remember hearing the story about Jim Carrey, and I was like, well, where's my blue suit? But really, as I look back on that, now 6, 7 years ago, I realized that day that there was actually a message that I was given. And it was a single word. And I'm not going to share it today because it doesn't necessarily matter. And to be honest with you, the reason why I don't want to share it is because I believe that I hold the power in that word, and I don't want to share it. So I just can't give it to you. I'll just say that. But it's there. It's there. But that word, and it was something that was so small and inconsequential feeling. But looking back over the years, I see how that has actually been something that has come true in my life. And maybe not in the full expression of what I would like it to be, but it's still true. Now, as I look back, so then a couple days ago, I'm thinking about what I got to open this talk with, what I want to do here. And I remember the Jim Carrey story. So I'm like, okay, that's perfect. So I watched it again. But this time when I watched it, what stood out to me wasn't the fact that he wrote down $10 million on a check. Because at the time that I heard it in the first place, I think if everything was so new to me that that concept was fascinating. What stood out to me now is that he was what he talked about is, yeah, I was meeting with directors. People were telling me that they liked my work. I was using that as a way of encouraging myself. And I was doing the thing, showing up day by day. And he was also Jim Carrey. You know, like he had this talent that he was crafting within himself. And that right act of writing the $10 million on the check was not a magical thing that he put out there and it just became just from writing it on the check. So what I want to talk about today, and if you leave with one thing, I'll tell you the whole beginning, end of my talk today, is that manifestation is the product of faith, action, and alignment. That's it. I'm going to go into, you know, we'll spend some more time up here, you know, but just for some entertainment purposes, I guess. But that's it. That's it. Now, the thing about faith, right? The thing about this manifestation is that faith is enough, but it's also not enough. And as I think about, you know, where my life has taken me up until this point, as I think about like that act of writing on that check, all those different things, you know, I now see that the most important thing is in this, like, almost these interconnected parts that you can't take apart from one another. Because it's not a manifestation. Like, things don't actually happen unless all those things are present. You know, and it kind of brings me to the first point I actually want to talk about today. So in Unity, we have our five principles, right? First two principles I'm not going to talk about today. I've talked about them a little bit in the past. But the third principle of Unity, and I'm going to read it just so I don't get it totally wrong, but we are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in our mind. Now, my experience leading up to, I mean, even recently, because these are things that are clarifying in my mind, you know, even as I'm preparing this talk, is that there are thoughts that, or I'll say this, there's unity, there's what we teach within Unity, then there's positive thinking just in the zeitgeist, and this concept of, you know, thoughts create reality, right? One thing I remember very specifically, I think it was a poker player, Phil Hellmuth, that said it, but he said, you are what you think, you become what you think becomes reality. Now, when I heard that 7 years ago, to be honest with you, I was like, okay, one, this is awesome, this is powerful, this is great, but at the same time, my thoughts aren't that great. And I started to judge myself. I started to like beat myself up for not having the right thought life that I needed in order to bring together what I wanted to bring together. So this unity principle here, it's actually, there's an important nuance, there really is, that is in that principle, that if it's not understood well, can lead us to judge ourselves for not experiencing the thought life that we think we need to be experiencing. Consciousness is a stream. We cannot control the thoughts that enter our mind. Maybe some people say they can. Personally, my experience is that I have a lot of thoughts, some good, some bad, some indifferent. Things that I can't control what comes up. I have thoughts that fire all the time, all the time. And in the period of my life where I judge those thoughts, I was a very anxious person. You could ask Abby. I didn't sleep pretty much ever. I mean, I slept, but it was like, and I just thought, okay, something needs to change here. How is this going to change? I don't know how this is going to change. But what this principle says is that we co-create reality with God through the thoughts held in our mind. It's not about whether there's a particular thought that comes through our stream of consciousness. That is, it's not good, bad, or indifferent. It just is. And I think reading the teachings of the Buddha, reading things about Hinduism, all that different stuff, has helped me to realize that. Like, there's actually, you know, I don't need to judge the stream that's always, always flowing. But life, manifestation, whatever you want to call it, just like the act of things happening and things becoming, tomorrow, the future, that is a product of the decision that we make to nurture thoughts of fear or of faith. And life is an ever unfolding journey of making that same decision over and over and over again. In the Sermon on the Mount, actually, this is not the Sermon on the Mount. This is a different part of where Jesus is talking. He says, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to here, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing. Faith holds the power for us to do great things, to do more than we could ever imagine, truly. If we have a limited perspective of ourselves, through faith, we can transcend any limitation that we perceive within ourselves. And in this concept of choosing faith or fear, in this concept of noticing these streams of thought that come in or exit at any given time, this principle, some may call it like, I've heard it called, referred to as the law of divine compensation. Simply, you reap what you sow. The things that you choose to hold in your mind, the things that you choose to either let go of or nurture, will become your reality. You know, no. Okay. Well, I guess Enzo's crying, I don't know. But what I was trying to do is that it was remind Abby. You'll have to hear this later, babe. So when I first started hearing about these concepts of like positive thinking, all these different things, if Abby would say something that I was like, that I thought was limiting us, that I thought was like putting us in a box, I'd be like, hey, let's not think that way. And I think that there can be a tendency, if we're not careful about it, to let these thoughts rule our lives in a way that is fearful of them. And even though we speak about having faith, that we can really be just manifesting an avoidance of fear. Now, I talked about it. It's one thing for somebody to write $15 million or $10 million on a check and for that to come true in 3 years, right? Faith, alignment, action. Alignment is the process of unfolding, the process of becoming that which can align to co-create with God. And it is not a process, at least in my experience, that happens like that. Ram Dass says, a snake will only shed its skin when it's ready to shed its skin. I think it's an interesting way of looking at it. Things take time for us to be able to get to the point where we are capable of being in alignment with what the true divine will is for our lives. And if we are not patient, we can judge ourselves even in that weeding. Unity's fourth principle. Through prayer and meditation, we align our heart mind with God. Denials and affirmations are tools we use. Going back to that concept of like thought, right? Before I came to Unity, I always just thought it's all about the thought, it's all about the thought, it's all about the thought. This concept of the heart mind is like, where do they see it on the skeleton? I don't know. Where's it, like, where do you learn where that's at in the anatomy class? But we know what it is. We know that when we are in alignment, when we feel that centeredness, when our heart is aligned with our head, when we reach that place of what I've talked about previously of the lotus of the heart, of that place of, despite everything that's going on around you, the light that shines within. When we act from that place, when we nourish that place, we bring ourselves into alignment with a divine will that is already flowing, already is, and already exists within the mind of God. I promise you, the entire time I was preparing for this sermon, that was going on, so. So I can do this. You know, prayer is a miracle. Prayer is a miracle. And it works and all that. You know, I remember when I was in college, you know, I had this desire to find the girl for me, the right girl, like truly the right girl. And I was in Ohio, and it would be freezing cold out, like 10 degrees. And I'd be like, my friends would say, what are you doing? Where are you going? I'm just going for a walk. I'm just going for a walk. And I'd go for like a 2-mile walk away from the campus, go down, walk back. The entire time I'd be praying. The entire time. I'd be praying for, you know, things are happening in my life, but I would say ultimately the main focal point of my prayer in those times was for a beautiful, faithful wife. I know it sounds like, you know, oh, I don't know, but it's true. It just is what it is. And would you know that while I walked that path, a path that truly, like, nobody walks because it just is not, the way that you go, it just is not near campus or anything like that. I was walking past Abby's house every day. Every day. I didn't know who she was. I didn't even know who she was. And then I met her, and I'm like, wait, this is your house? This is your house? So that's why I married her, because I was walking past the place. So. Now, we've talked a little bit about like this tendency that we could potentially have, right, to villainize fear, to like shove it away, put it in the basement, lock it up. My take, I don't think that's what we're supposed to do. I think that if we allow ourselves to feel the fullness of the fear, and then to affirm a greater reality, we rise above the fear in a way that we could never do if we were to shove it away. There's a prayer that a friend of mine has told me that I think is actually really helpful in these moments. And it may not be like the most affirmative prayer, but it is what it is. And it's, God, remove this fear from me and direct my attention to what you would have me do and be. And that's all we need to do in those moments. Because when we experience the fullness of that fear, when we affirm a greater reality, when we feel God showing us what that next step is so that we can be in alignment with the divine will, and we take that step, the fear ceases to exist. It does. It may come back at times, but you just do the same thing. You just do the same thing. Because life is a series of making the same decision. Am I going to live by faith or by fear? And in a lot of ways, I've talked about this a little bit as well, like, it's about a living meditation. It's about a breathing meditation. It's about a showing up, being here, being aware of what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what I'm feeling, and taking the time to tune into what is going on inside. Kenny Powers, there's a song, I just dropped in to see what condition my condition is in. And it's like, oh my goodness. It's so true. There's so many things, there's so many thought processes going on at all times, both good and bad. And we don't have to judge them. But there are so many conscious and unconscious thought processes going on that if we take the time, and it could be as much as a centering breath, we can identify that which we're afraid of and move past it. The unexamined life is not worth living, something like that, right? If we're not examining where we're at on a regular basis, if we're just kind of like zipping around, going from here to here, being anxious, letting ourselves live out of fear, busying ourselves to not see what condition our condition is in, then we limit ourselves from living reality and from manifesting what is actually ours to do and be and align with. In Galatians 6, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. I know that myself, in the past, like where I came from, where I grew up, I would read that and be like, shame, shame, shame. Because if I wasn't doing the thing I needed to do, God was looking down on me, being vindictive, and was going to punish me for not living in alignment with the things that I need to be doing. But that's not what this says. It says God is not mocked. It means that at the end of the day, if we say we have faith, and yet we choose to live a different way, and yet we choose to live out of fear, or we choose to not do that which is our duty to do, it is not God blocking us or being vindictive. It is us making that decision. And that's not something to beat ourselves up about. It's something to observe, something to realize about ourselves, and something to affirm that we can move beyond, and that we can act in deeper and better and more effective ways. If the seeds of manifestation are faith, and if we drop these seeds at every moment we can, there will be a sprouting up, a result, a plant that grows from those seeds of faith. When we sow the fear, when we push it away, we will sow that as well. Through prayer and meditation, we align our heart and mind with God. Denials and affirmations are tools we use. Really good book. Many of you probably read it, by Emily Cady, Lessons in Truth. That's the first time I really read about the concept of denials. Affirmations, this has been something I've done for quite some time. And And I read the book, Think and Grow Rich. I was like, this book is amazing. I want to be a millionaire, you know, all that. Oh, yeah, let's go. But I read that book, and I was like, okay, this is confusing. What am I, auto-suggestion, all the, what am I, how do I actually do this? A mentor, who's now a mentor of mine, he's a guy who, he created this like little method of, basically, essentially what it comes down to is you have a one sheet of paper, and in the front you have essentially a list of affirmations, on the back you have a list of goals, and you read that to yourself every single morning. And this has been something I've done now for, I don't know, I mean, I'll say 5 years or so. And when I first started, the affirmations and things I had written on there were like, honestly, like just really selfish, silly things. Things that were like wanting results of like, oh, I want to have this thing. Like, not to, you know, knock down the power of what Jim Carrey did with that $10 million check, right? But it's like, and not to minimize the value of money or anything like that. But there is a deep spiritual well that we can all be drawing from that transcends like even these temporal things. The affirmations I write now, the affirmations I read to myself on a daily basis now, are much more in alignment with like that sort of desire. Because I don't know about you, but like it is so easy to forget. It's really hard, really hard, to make those decisions of faith on a regular basis at every moment. Because when external circumstances are like, when there's a storm a brewing, sun doesn't seem like it's going to shine. Affirmations are a reminder that there is a greater transcendent reality that we can choose to have faith in, even amidst the stormiest of storms. And it doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't. But by repetition, by consistency, by discipline, we reap what we sow. And even though like the things I have written now are a lot more nebulous than the things I've written in the past, they're not as concrete, I notice that the reality I experience, the thing I'm manifesting, is coming to pass in great ways. And that's not like an ego thing or anything like that. It's just that I view it as like, this is my way of praying on a daily basis. And God answers prayers. It's simple. Denials. Okay, so denials I think are a really powerful thing that I think goes back to some of the stuff I'm talking about, this tendency to like shove fear down. And this concept of like, okay, well, we deny it. A denial is not necessarily denying that in reality, in that we experience is something that actually exists or is true. It can be a denial of that, but it doesn't have to be. A denial is a choice that this thing that is going on, that this thing I'm experiencing, this way of being that I am showing up in the world, that I am able to rise above that through a power that I am connected to because it is intricately woven within my soul. And that power, the one who has all power, that power gives us the ability to deny the power of anything beneath it. Patience. You know, God delays God delays. But God doesn't forget. We may have to go through the fire. We may have to go through the process. We may have to go through a lot of personal growth, a lot of things we would otherwise not want to go through in order to be shaped into the type of person that we need to be, that we are becoming. Faith, alignment, action. Unity's fifth principle. Through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we know. We live the truth we know. In a lot of ways, this is what I've kind of been saying up until this point, right? So, not to beat a dead horse. Now, this is where I wanted to talk about the Sermon on the Mount. Before I do, I'll preface it with saying that, so I've been to Israel. I spent some time there, seeing all these different holy sites. And the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus is said to have given this Sermon on the Mount, is right near the Sea of Galilee. And by right near, I mean like it's a hill and then the sea's right there. And there were multitudes of people following Jesus. Multitudes. When you're on that hill, when the wind of the sea is blowing, it's really tough to hear. It really is. Really is. So I don't know whether these words were spoken softly or loudly, but that doesn't make them any less true. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. I don't necessarily know that what it's trying to say is like there's different stages to this of like ask, then seek, then knock. But I thought it was interesting to think about it in that way. In asking, we place ourselves in a position of receptiveness, a willingness to go on the journey, to seek that which we need to find, to seek the door that when we knock, it'll be opened. Because not every door that we knock on is meant to be opened. The more that we're in alignment with the divine will, the more those doors we knock on, the more they're just going to open. But the more we are in a place of, let's just say, misalignment, the more we're going to have to go on that journey to seek, to become, to be, so that when we knock, those doors swing open. Had a couple other stories. I ain't gonna go through them. Manifestation is not some magic trick. It's not something complicated. But there is a magic in it. It's called faith. And when we are in alignment with a greater reality, and we act on that alignment, through faith, alignment, and action, we manifest a new reality. I invite you now to close your eyes as we move towards a time of meditation. And as you take a deep breath, consider uncrossing your arms or your legs. To sit in a posture of receptivity. And just as we breathe, we're reminded that with the same or greater frequency than our breaths, the stream of thought wades on by. And in this moment, we take an abbreviated pause to allow ourselves to see that which we might otherwise ignore. Some of those things we might not want to touch them. And some of those things are reaching out to our soul. In this moment, as we breathe, as we take another deep, centering breath, we remind ourselves that in the midst of whatever thought passes by, with an open hand, we can let go of those things which we're fearful of. And with our free hand, we bring our hands together. To open our hearts, to receive in faith the good that is coming in our lives right now. We take that seed, we plant it within our soul. And as we go out from here today, we commit to nurturing those seeds of faith, that they may grow into the greatest, most precious things in our lives. We thank you, God. So it is.